I'm Steve Potter, and welcome to Cityscape. Later in today's program, we're going to hear about the St. Louis Classical Guitar Society's Ferguson Guitar Initiative, which provides funding for instruments and instruction for 5th and 6th grade students. Proponents say there are definite benefits in group musical activities, including cognitive and emotional development, self-discipline, and social skills. We're going to talk it over with the Guitar Society's Bill Ash and with Dwayne Foster of Normandy High School and Doug Irwin of the Ferguson-Florissant School District. And we'll also preview this year's annual concert of the Low Brass Collective. We begin with the Repertory Theater of St. Louis's production of Guess Who's Coming to Dinner. Pittsburgh-based playwright Todd Kreidler has brought the story from the iconic movie to the stage, and he joins us now along with the Rep's Associate Artistic Director, Seth Gordon, who directs the production, which opens tonight at the Loretto Hilton Center. Welcome to you both.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you.
Todd Kreidler, Guess Who's Coming to Dinner, the movie, was a box office hit back in 1968, I guess it was, even in southern states. And I think it's important to remember how controversial the topic of interracial marriage was, at the time. And I believe even the filmmakers then didn't think that white filmgoers in the South would even go see a movie with a black lead.
Absolutely. And I think that that's been one of the challenges in looking at the piece now, how to make it set in that era, but not of that era. How does it speak to us today? How are these issues still alive? And yet how have we seemingly moved past some of them? But I think it also speaks to any kind of difference from gay marriage to Muslims and Jews. There's anything that deals with, I think, the other, bringing the other into your home and looking for acceptance. I think it resonates with audiences in that way.
Seth, as the director, was it ever a question for you that the subject matter might be dated?
I've learned about this play by one of the things that I do at the Rep and helping figure out what plays we're going to produce in the future is I troll the websites of other theaters to see what they're doing. And I happened to be on Arena Stage in Washington on their website, and I saw the title. And as soon as I saw the title, I hadn't read the script yet, and I knew it was something that we had to pursue. Because this was months before the city exploded. But I knew that this is a conversation that it would be very good for really any municipality, any city to have with itself about what it's like to invite, as Todd was just saying, someone who is other than yourself into your home and perhaps even into your family. And how does that test your own preconceptions, not only of that person, but also of yourself and of your own thoughts and feelings about what it means to be a family and have a family and have some family members who don't necessarily look and act like you.
I wonder how younger people think about this. When I say younger, even under 40, under 30 or 40, say, because it doesn't seem like interracial marriage would be a big deal to people today. I remember when this movie came out, though, and I was 13 years old and I had never even met a black person. And the movie seemed so daring at the time. It's certainly not daring today, or is it?
Is it daring today? Well, I think it depends on the perception of the person who's seeing it. One thing that is certainly true is that when you see the movie today, you're seeing it today. You're seeing it now. So there's a degree to which the film takes place now, because now is when you're experiencing it. And that'll be the case when you go to see the play as well. The play pretty clearly takes place. We have music and props and clothing that leads you to believe that the play takes place in an earlier era. But every play takes place now, even Shakespeare.
Todd, did you see the movie when you were younger?
I have no distinct memory of when I initially saw it. So the only time I seriously looked at it was when this project was brought to me by director Kenny Leon, who was involved with a producer who wanted to adapt it. And Kenny wanted me to write it and take a look at the film, and I actually had a lot of resistance to it.
Did you know much about the movie at all?
Sure, I knew about it because that's the thing. It's not an adaptation of a film. It's an adaptation of an iconic film, and that's been key in terms of trying to unlock this, because it is, people have a strong feelings about it one way or another. It's a touchstone in our culture.
And we should point out the cast was really incredible for the time. It was Spencer Tracy and Katharine Hepburn, which played the woman's parents. And the gentleman involved, the black man, was Sidney Poitier. at the time.
Absolutely. So I'm dealing with that. So, you know, Kenny's guidance, which I took to heart, was because I had a lot of resistance, and I think a lot of questions even people might ask, like, why is this relevant and all the things. And Kenny pushed me, says, have a conversation, have that conversation, because he said, I think the attitudes and ideas are still buried in this country. Linguistically, we may deal with each other differently, but we're still a country of two Americas, and I think history's, you know, it's bearing out, particularly here.
Let me make this point. St. Louis Public Radio's Nancy Fowler has a story that's currently on our website. It's been up a few days about this production. And she starts out by pointing out that for a lot of people back in the 1960s, this was the first interracial couple they'd ever seen either on or off screen. And she makes an interesting point. She says today, when even same-sex interracial couples can marry in St. Louis, you'd think we don't care who's coming to dinner, but in fact, interracial relationships are still confusing for some people.
I think they definitely are, and I think you see them less often than one might believe. You keep saying, you know, young people, will they relate to this because they take this stuff for granted?
Uh-huh.
But I came here in 2010 to become Associate Artistic Director of the REP. I've lived here about 4.5 years. And most of the interracial couples that I've seen have been the one that I've been directing for the past month in rehearsal. I don't see a lot of interracial anything in St. Louis. I have a very different background in that I grew up in New York City in the Bronx in a neighborhood that happened to be very, very integrated. It didn't actually mean to be, but it was changing.
Mm-hmm.
And I grew up right in that sweet spot where the Jews, Irish, and Italians were moving out. Black and Latino families were moving in. And it was a very, very integrated neighborhood. And so I am very aware of when a neighborhood is not.
Todd, you grew up in Pittsburgh, so how did your personal story and experiences influence how you came to this?
Oh, I grew up in a very poor, rural, white region, so I had the opposite of Seth's background growing up, and I didn't even anybody in the professional classes was maybe when we occasionally went to see a doctor was it. So it was class, it was race, uh-huh. It was all of that. So that experience of encountering, I think I brought, you know, you bring that when you become, you're an outsider to anything, you bring that to your storytelling. And I think it helped me, you know, find a way to the piece, whatever it tapped. I mean, some of this stuff you don't want to be too conscious of as you're writing and working. But as I began to find my way personally into the story, I think those things came up for me.
That's playwright Todd Kreidler. We're also talking to Seth Gordon, who's directing Todd's production or Todd's play, Guess Who's Coming to Dinner at the Rep, which opens tonight. So, Todd, how closely does your stage version follow the movie?
I think Seth could answer that better because I saw the movie. I saw the movie once. I read the screenplay, and then I haven't looked back. So I don't. I'm not that aware. Part of the adaptation was absorbing it and then kind of, you know, making it my own, so to speak. I mean, it certainly honors the iconic moments in the film, but I would say Seth can probably assess that.
Well, you know, of course, in the film, Martians come and attack at the
That's
end
right.
and have dinner with them, and we don't do that in the play. I would go with Todd and say that the iconic moments are all there. The basic storyline is all there. One thing that Todd has done that either couldn't be done in 67 or perhaps just simply wasn't done, perhaps there was a time constraint to how long the film could be, Todd has fleshed the characters out in a way that the film doesn't do nearly as much. And in particular, the character of Joanna, the young woman who brings her intended home to meet the family, exactly why she does the things that she does and orchestrates this dinner in the manner that she does is not quite explained in the film. And in the play, the character has the opportunity to speak her mind a little bit more.
Our number is 314-382-8255, 382-8255. And I think we've kind of neglected to maybe set the story up a little bit. It's about an interracial couple. That part's obvious. But the woman's been in Hawaii. Is she in medical school or studying or something? And she meets a doctor there who she brings from Hawaii home to the mainland to meet her affluent, successful, professional parents who are very liberal politically. but then, you know, maybe not as liberal as they think they are.
Their liberalism is tested.
Well put.
Put it that way. Yes, they think they're liberal. They claim to be liberal. He is the editor of a very, very liberal newspaper. And then he meets Dr. John Prentice.
Who seems to be a very nice guy.
And
everything about him is good.
Well, as the character, as the newspaper man puts it, he is lovely in every way, and his skin happens to be black.
382-8255. Let's go to the phones. Bill's calling from Spanish Lake. Hi, Bill. You're in Cityscape.
Hi. Good afternoon. I remember this film specifically because, number one, it was a great film. But in high school, we were given, I don't know if it was over the Christmas holidays or what, but we were given a homework assignment that we must attend this movie, bring in our ticket stub to prove to our teacher, Mr. Leo Mann at CBC High School. We had to prove that we had seen the movie and that we had to listen to Spencer Tracy's final long speech at the very end of the movie. And it was profound, and we talked about it for days.
Thanks, Bill.
It was very good. So thank you.
Yeah, thanks for your call. And speaking of the movie, it's actually going to be shown, Seth, tomorrow night at the High Point?
Tomorrow morning. For those of you who are morning people, you can come see the play and party all night and then not go to bed and go straight to the High Point Theater, 10:30 in the morning for just $5. They're going to show the movie.
And Todd, Bill made a point that just went out of my mind right now.
About the final speech, which...
Yes, that's exactly what it was. Thank you. Because you changed up the end a little, didn't you?
I did, but that speech is very much intact. But I think the stakes of it are different. I think that, first of all, I think the play is a lot about... it's also about family, and it's about generational difference. I think that that's woven throughout. So it's also the story, the young woman's story of going from Joey to being Joanna, both personally and in her parents' eyes. So they're... Are those kind of things that are echoing against this issue as well?
And it's a love story.
Yes.
It's two young people who are very much in love and at the very beginning of their lives. And it's her parents who love each other quite very, very much. And their allegiance to each other is tested as they respond to Dr. Prentice in slightly different ways. And their love and their allegiance to each other and their longtime marriage is tested as well.
Mm-hmm. What was the biggest challenge for you in writing this, Todd? And I know the play's been up and running a couple of years, but you actually wrote it 7 years ago. Is there a story why it took so long from conception to production?
There's not a short story, but a stab at it would be the biggest hurdle was that it was originally conceived as a commercial Broadway production, and it went through all the development steps, and then the producer essentially pulled out, but he still had the rights. So he still had the rights to produce it. I had the rights to my material, but he still had the rights to produce it. So that was held up for a period of time, and then once that lapsed, then Kenny Leon did it in Atlanta at True Colors Theater.
But none of that had to do anything with it, that it was hard to sell, was it?
No. There's always been demand and interest from jump in the piece. It just became a rights issue, and it gets very complex because it's my rights are tied to the underlying rights. But I have a very good relationship with the estate now, and they're very excited about the life that the piece is having.
382-8255. Linda's calling from Spanish Lake. Hi, Linda. You're on the air.
Hi, I just have a quick question because I'm a lot older than all you guys. You keep talking about this being like one of the first interracial movies, but I'm pretty old and I remember a lot of interracial in the play in the movie Showboat, and I'm just wondering how that, like, did that not go over, or was it so subtle that they didn't, like, pick up on that in the time?
Oh, Showboat definitely was controversial for that at the time. Showboat, however, was the 1920s. And between the 20s and the 60s, there wasn't a whole lot of movement forward in that area. So, and Showboat also was a Broadway musical that was made into a film that had some notoriety. Guess Who's Coming to Dinner was certainly the most, as I understand it, the most commercially viable a story on the subject matter that had been up to that point.
And one point that comes to mind isn't is this not correct that when the movie came out too, interracial marriage was still illegal? I don't know if it was everywhere, but
the Loving case that made it unconstitutional to have miscegenation laws was issued by the Supreme Court while the film was in production, and so interracial marriage was legal in all 50 states as mandated by the Supreme Court for a matter of months.
Let's go back to the phones. Jake's calling from U City. Hi, Jake. You're on the air with Todd Kreidler and Seth Gordon. Go ahead.
Thank you for my call. Remind me again what year that came out?
68.
67.
67. Okay. But I actually remember seeing it. I was only about 5 years old at the time, actually. But it was like after it came to television or something. But I was just reminded that there was like some other roles that were kind of iconic, who became iconic later. The woman's name escapes me, but the woman who played the maid played Mrs. Jefferson.
That's correct. Esther Roll, her name is. Yes.
And the other was this, there was a really small like cameo part, which I thought was kind of cute, where the Katharine Hepburn is firing her assistant, and her assistant happened to be Mrs. Olsen from Folgers.
Yes, that's also correct. I don't remember her name, but yes, she became a television presence years after doing the movie.
Thanks, Jake.
Yeah.
Appreciate you.
Yeah, and one more quick question.
Okay.
I knew Dr. Prentice's mother was rather famous. Do you happen to remember her name?
She's very famous, and her name just is on the tip of Bay.
She does a lot of character parts in lots of different projects.
We have thousands of people who are going to Google her now.
We'll get back to you on that, Jake. Thanks.
I look forward to the stage production.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Thanks for your call. Let's take another call from Trish in Florissant. Hi, Trish. You're on Cityscape.
Hi. Thank you so much for taking the call. I just wanted to offer perspective. I understand that you both are non-native St. Louisan, and I am. I actually, you know, and I'm older than you all are too, and so I grew up in South County in South St. Louis, and actually have lived and raised my family in Coruscant, North County of St. Louis, and so I'm very happy to see this coming, and I'm very happy to see this kind of dialogue opening up, because there is a big divide in St. Louis among race. There's, some of it's more subtle now because it's not, and depending on what part of St. Louis you're in, it's more open. But it does hurt us, and it's not just that, it's the class. I don't know if any of you know that the biggest question in St. Louis is where did you go to school? And they don't mean college, they mean high school, because there's also a financial sort of divide there, too, along those lines. And if you didn't go to the right high school, then you don't belong to the right
Trish, place. I have to jump in just in the interest of time. Do you have a specific question?
I'm just wondering. What is the difference? And what is, because it's been a long time since I've seen the movie, what is it that we're looking at to try and touch or get to?
Thanks for your call.
So the question is, what are we trying? I guess more than anything else, one thing for me as a director is that once we're in the rehearsal room, you're just putting the production together and hoping that the larger issues will speak for themselves when the audience sees it. I put together a romantic comedy. That's really what the play is. It's a play about a woman who brings her intended home to meet the parents. And the fact that the intended is black and the family is white opens up a whole other range of issues. So we're hoping to entertain people, and we're hoping to get them thinking about an issue that is quite often not discussed.
Really quickly, I want to mention there's a photo exhibit that relates to all this in the lobby of the Rep people should look at. Also, there'll be a panel discussion at the Regional Arts Commission on January 26th related to this. The St. Louis Art Museum is showing what they're calling some edgy art that they've tied into this as well. It's the Repertory Theater's production of Guess Who's Coming to Dinner, opening tonight, running through February the 1st at the Loretto Hilton Center. Go to stlpublicradio.org to the Cityscape page for more information. And one final thing, Todd, I wanted to mention to you. We were talking about how your production is a little bit different than the movie. One little interesting thing about the movie, the film had only been playing a couple of months, I think, when Martin Luther King was assassinated in April of 1968. And there's a part at the in the movie somewhere where Tilly responds to a question with a sarcastic one-liner, and the question is, guess who's coming to dinner now? And she says, the Reverend Martin Luther King. A couple months later, he was assassinated, and that was removed from the movie and later put back in some versions. So I'm curious if that's in the show.
Yes. Yes, it is.
It's many, many years later now.
So what do you think the takeaway, just in the few seconds we have left, will be from this, Seth? Is this going to start conversation? Well, I think that's what you intended to do.
I'm hoping it starts conversations. I'm hoping people see the play. They walk out in the lobby as they're putting their coats on to get to their cars. They see the lobby display. The lobby display is a bunch of beautiful photos of interracial couples here in St. Louis and some narratives underneath the photos telling people what their story is. And hopefully, you know, we're not going to solve anything here, but we are going to hopefully get people to start thinking and talking about what it means to have people in your home, in your family, among your friends who are other than you.
And Todd, what has this experience meant for you?
Oh, it's been extraordinary. And I think to piggyback on that, it's about getting people to the table. That's as I told Seth, I said, I think the film sort of resolves within the world of the film, it resolves itself at the end. And I think the play actually invites us that there's a lot more work to be done. And if we can just get to that table metaphorically and literally in the story, I think we'll be better off.
Well, I haven't seen the movie since 1968, so I really look forward to seeing the stage production. Oh, it sounds great. Todd Kreidler is the playwright. Todd, thank you for being here. Welcome to St. Louis.
Thank you. Thank you. It's good to be here.
Seth Gordon is directing. It's Guess Who's Coming to Dinner opening tonight, The Rep. Thank you both again for being here.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you.
Next on Cityscape, the Low Brass Collective. This is St. Louis Public Radio.